evening, and welcome to another edition of the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. We got a good show on hand for tonight. So we'll be talking football and tennis on tonight's show. Along with Matt Tritton, I'm John Coffey. We have Jacob Blair, along with Logan Weber behind the scenes helping out tonight as well. And Matt Tritton, always a big weekend when homecoming weekend rolls around, and that's the case again coming up this weekend.
Yeah, and really expecting great crowds rolling into Maryville, not only for football, but we also have volleyball going on later on that evening, Saturday night, and it should be a lot of fun. Northwest Missouri State taking on Lincoln in that football game, and the Bearcats traditionally have been very good at on the homecoming game. They've outscored their last four opponents 160-47 during this yearly event, so it should be a lot of fun. It starts off with the parade at 9 a.m., and it just kind of builds from there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're going to roll into the kickoff at 2 o'clock. We'll have the broadcast on KXCV, KRNW beginning at 1 o'clock. And then after that, we've got a little bit of a basketball game coming up. Hard to believe basketball is already getting started, but the Bearcat men's basketball team on the road. They're in Durham, North Carolina for a game against this team called the Duke Blue Devils, I think.
Yeah, coached by some guy named Mike Krzyzewski. That'll be a lot of fun. Second time Northwest Missouri State's had the opportunity to go out to North Carolina and take on Duke, who's preseason ranked number 4 in the AP Top 25. And it's a cool tradition that Coach K and the Blue Devils have started where they invite that defending Division II national champion. And it's a good chance for them to get a good look against a quality basketball team that's coached very well from the Division II level. It's also a bit of a reward for that Division II team that steps in and plays in that basketball game. So that one tipping off at 6 o'clock on Saturday night, pregame at 5:30. It should be a lot of fun. And, you know, last time those two teams played, you know, Chrissy Boo and Dow hit a three-pointer about 2 minutes in, and Northwest went up 3-1 on the Blue Devils, and they got some open looks. It just wouldn't fall. It's kind of a tough place to play, obviously, whether you're Division I or Division II or whoever you are. But Ryan Hawkins really stepped out and had a fantastic game, the first time he'd ever suited up and stepped foot on the floor for the Northwest Missouri State Bearcats. And Trevor Hudgens redshirted that year but still got to play in the game, so a lot of the guys that have been there before are stepping up and getting a second go at it. So the nerves have to be a little bit more at ease, I would think, the second time around. But still, the Cameron Crazies, the lore that goes into Cameron Indoor Stadium, it'll be a very cool environment.
You know, a case could be made that the Bearcats have more experience on that floor than the current Duke team with the number of people that leave after their freshman year, and you got another big crew of freshmen coming in for Coach Krzyzewski.
I think you could definitely make that argument to be very valid. I think Duke has, you know, what, 8 true freshmen coming in, and a couple of McDonald's All-Americans, and they've got some okay athletes, so it'll be interesting.
But I tell you one thing, and you experienced it the last time around in particular too, but they really roll out the red carpet to the teams coming in. And the last time Northwest went out there, really made Northwest feel at home. Everyone involved with the basketball program and everyone made that trip, and they came away with some very positive feelings about Duke.
I think it's easy to go in and expect to not be treated great because they kind of look at you at a lower level and say it's not a big deal. We're going to go ahead and run through you and then head on our merry way. But it really wasn't the case. They treated the team first class. I believe Coach Krzyzewski and Coach McCollum really took quite a bit of time and just sat down and chatted about all things basketball life and kind of beyond that as well. So a great experience overall for the team. Heck, even the broadcasters kind of came over and were really nice to me and kind of helped me through the whole thing too. So top to bottom, it really is a first-class university. The basketball program really did it right. So a great experience that first time around, and looking forward to the second time too.
As far as homecoming weekend, besides the Bearcat football game, volleyball is home this weekend. They've got a couple matches scheduled. It's Missouri Southern's on schedule for Friday night at 6 at Bearcat Arena. Then on Saturday night at 7, it's Pittsburgh State. So the Bearcat volleyball team coming off another 5-set win, defeating Missouri Western on Tuesday, gets back in action.
Yeah, and I think that was a big one to be able to go to Missouri Western after having a tough match going 5 sets against Washburn on Saturday, who's top 5 in the country, and couldn't quite pull that one out. Then you have to go on the road, a rivalry game, a midweek game, and really found a way to pull that match out, even though they were down 2-1 after 3 sets. They found a way to even it up and won that 5th set. So Coach Worth and her team still trying to build that momentum back up. We saw how well they played in the first half of the season, and now it's kind of getting back on that right track. So a good win over Missouri Western, and a couple matches here with Southern and Pittsburgh State coming in. You expect them to come in and roll those two squads this weekend.
Cross country team will be on the road. They're down in Joplin this weekend for the MIAA championships.
And this is special, too, because this team is currently ranked, the men's team is ranked 12th nationally. They haven't won the MIAA since 1972. And if they want to pull it out this year, they have to go to somebody else's course and beat them. And so Missouri Southern's won three of the last five MIAA championships. They're hosting the event. They kind of have that leg up, knowing the course a little bit better than Northwest. Although the Bearcats did participate in the Missouri Southern Stampede earlier in the year, so they could have that chance to kind of come in and get a feel for what they're getting into. So be interesting to keep an eye on what the teams do here. And, you know, Jordan Cope set the record for the fastest 8K in Northwest history earlier this year, and Kareem Achingley, the third fastest 8K in Northwest history, and he was the runner-up in last year's MIAA championship. So a lot of good talent going into this for Northwest Missouri State. They have to feel good about where they're at, but now it's a matter of finding a way to beat that host school.
And then soccer on the road, they'll be making that southern trip to Edmond, Oklahoma, to face Central Oklahoma. That on Friday at 7 in the evening. Then they head up north just a little bit to Wichita to face one of the new schools in the MIAA in Newman. That's on Sunday. That'll be a 2 o'clock start on that matchup.
Kind of breaking ground going into Newman and checking out that pitch for the first time. But, you know, soccer split last week, beat Rogers State 3-1, and then lost to Northeastern State 2-1 in a hard-fought battle. They're looking up. They're building each week and looking better and better. And so now going on the road, it's tough to be away from home during homecoming weekend. But, you know, if you find a way to knock off UCO and Newman, that'd be a huge weekend for the Bearcats.
Well, we've got a big show on hand for tonight. As I mentioned, we'll be talking tennis along with football on tonight's show. Our guests include Northwest head football coach Rich Wright. He'll be with us a little bit later on the program, along with assistants off of his program and Joe Osborne, Chad Bostwick, and Brandon Clayton. That'll be a lot of fun to hear those guys and maybe to see what kind of stories they have to tell tonight.
We pick on their players a little bit. It'll be good to get them in and talk to them a little bit.
And, of course, up next we'll talk tennis as Northwest tennis coach Mark Rosewell is with us. He had a doubles team compete very well this fall down the ITA National Championships on the men's side. But we'll also talk with a couple players off his women's team, and Marta Ferrando, along with Tanya Terrell. That's all coming up, and we'll talk to those players coming up next on our Coaches Show. A reminder that support for the KXCV Care and W Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the student body. Screen printing and embroidery located near the Northwest campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch and dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. Again, coming up next, we'll talk tennis. That's coming up right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for more than 150 years. More information on locations is online at nvb.com. Member FDIC. Support for today's broadcast comes from Oak Point in Maryville, an assisted living community that offers residents help with medications, meals, personal care, and more. Information on services or upcoming events is at facebook.com/Oak Point of Maryville.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers pre-owned late model autos and will also purchase vehicles from individuals. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Bullseye Trading in Maryville, located at 1115 East 1st Street, open 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Bullseye Trading offers guns, ammo, and payday and pawn loans. For more info, 660-241-5013 or on Facebook.
Today's game is supported by State Farm Insurance agents Carrie Myers and Kevin Neal in Maryville and Nick Codeman in St. Joe, providing life, auto, and homeowners insurance and financial services. More at 562-3882, 582-3512, or insurewithnick.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And time now to turn our attention to tennis, as the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State tennis team, Mark Rosewell, is joining us, along with a couple players off his women's team, Tanya Terrell, along with Marta Ferrando. And first of all, Mark, let's talk a little bit about your trip down south to Rome, Georgia, here in the past week, competing in the ITA a national tournament. You had a very good doubles team and a good representation down there.
And happy homecoming, John.
Oh, you betcha.
Okay, so We did. We went down there, and we won our first match, okay? And then we lost our next two matches, but the last match was extremely close with a very good team from St. Mary's down in San Antonio, Texas. Now, I think we finished eighth, I believe is what it was, but keep in mind, these two, Bobby and Andy, you know, one's a sophomore and one's a freshman. Now, you throw Franco in there from last year, who got third in the singles, and he's just a junior this year, too. So, basically, they're all back. So, that, you know, that's really a lot to build. To get to a national tournament, I mean, it's extremely difficult, and it's just getting harder and harder. So, you know, the last three national tournaments, Northwest Missouri State has been there.
And I think, too, what people may not understand is you put together that doubles team really kind of on the fly there just a little bit. You had a couple guys that haven't played doubles together, and they were able to work things out and get their teamwork going and make it out of a very tough region to make it on down to the Nationals.
Absolutely, John. You know, the plan was that Franco and Bobby was going to play doubles. But Franco had been having trouble with his back, and he had a chance to win the singles. We wanted him to concentrate on the singles. And we saw that this new young man, Andy, at big serve and so forth, didn't look like a bad doubles player. I mean, they made the transition, and they just kept playing better and better each time they played.
So that changed maybe a little bit to what you're looking at in the spring as far as putting some doubles teams together?
Yeah, it really does. It really gives us a lot more weapons and so forth. So we're excited about that.
And it's just overall, when you look at the fall, again, it's a different type of competition than what you'll have in the spring, with more of a team-centered in the spring, some individual tournaments you go to in the fall, you know, culminating with the ITA championships. What were some of the main goals you had with both your men and women going into this fall?
Well, you know, in the fall, we're always trying to assemble our teams and get our doubles teams together, figure out what our ladder is going to be on both sides. We do this by playing challenge matches. You know, a lot of coaches will say, hey, you're playing here, you're playing there. But to me, you got to play each other and go, and then you figure out the record at the end of the fall, and then you figure out a ladder from there. To me, that's the fairest way to do it, you know, particularly when these players are coming from, you know, different countries and so forth. There's a lot of different styles and so forth. So that's what we try to really establish in the fall. Now, you know, we've got a lot of young ladies back and men and so forth, and we know what they can do, but it's more of the newer ones that we're not sure what they can do.
Well, let's just talk a little bit on the women's side here. We got a couple of your fine players off the women's side in Tanya and Marta, and again, coming off a very good women's season last year where the women's team made it to the Nationals a year ago.
Outstanding season, John. Actually, Elite Eight, top eight in the country. You know, for a cold weather school to do that, that is outstanding. Beating Midwestern Texas down there twice in 1 year. Hadn't beaten them in 7-8 years. It's been a long time and so forth. But these two young ladies are seniors. They're providing us with a lot of leaderships and so forth. Both of them made it to the 16s, okay? They're also, we stubbed their toe in doubles, but they're also outstanding doubles team. They were nationally ranked all year. And both of them have been individually nationally ranked, too, so outstanding players.
And we're glad to have them on the show here tonight as well. And, girl, first of all, again, good to have you with us here and stopping by to be with us tonight.
Thank you.
And let's just, first of all, coming in as seniors, and just might throw this out to both of you, but first, Marty, just talk a little bit about being an experienced player and getting ready for your final year here at Northwest, and what are some of the expectations you have right now?
Since what I like feel playing in the ITA, I think I can do really good for like spring, because since this season is already over, so I'm looking like a little bit forward. And I think we have a nice team. I think we can do good. We just need to practice a lot. Practice a lot with doubles too, because they are really important, and I think maybe we can go to Nationals again.
Well, that's always fun, isn't it, to make that trip at the end of the year? And Tanya, just talk a bit about what you see coming in as a senior and some of the goals that you have for this upcoming year.
Oh, well, I think last year it was very fun going to Nationals, but I feel like we have still something inside that we couldn't win conference or the regular season. So I think that to start, instead of looking that forward, we want to like focus most on the trying to get the regular season in the conference, and then really focus on the conference tournament. And from there, we'll see where it goes. But that was with Marta. I think we're trying to get again really well ranked and have a good season and help the team to get that point for doubles.
And as far as this fall, were you able to accomplish what you really wanted this fall as you get ready to look around in another couple months for the spring season?
Well, I mean, we didn't expect to go to nationals, but that time when we played against Washburn, we knew that we were going to be better than them. The three past years I've been here playing against them, it always been 5-4 for them, 4-3 for them. And we knew that this time was going to be the chance. We all wanted more than them. We won almost every match. And if we didn't win, it was like super close to winning. So we showed them that we were ready to be in nationals.
All right, both of you come from Spain. Were you aware of each other before you came to Northwest Missouri State at all?
No, we didn't.
But I imagine that's something that kind of brings you closer together a little bit. You have a little something in common coming from Spain a bit.
Yeah, we're roommates now.
And we studied the same major, so we are always together.
Well, that sounds good. And Martin, first of all, just tell us a bit, too, about what brought you to Northwest Missouri State.
Well, the situation in Spain with tennis, like sports and study is not really good because like you cannot do both things, so coming here and have this opportunity was really nice, and I decided that I wanted to like keep my tennis career and also have my study ready for when I'm done with tennis. So I think this university was like meeting the expectation that I wanted, so that's why I decided to come here.
And Tanya, tell us about what brought you to the Northwest campus here in Maryville.
Well, the company with what I came here, they told me about the good culture that they have here with the sports, the clothes, that all the athletes are, how everything works here. So that I really liked it. That I, from where I'm practicing in Spain, we had this type of atmosphere, a lot of competition, everybody trying to go up. So I really liked it, that, and I decided to come here.
And let's just talk about your studies and tell us a little bit about what you're studying and for both of you and what you hope to do once you leave Northwest.
We're doing criminology analysis system, both of us, and I don't know where this is going to bring us. We'll see what happens.
I think I'm going to go to Spain after this, and I would like to do like a police academy. And then after that, let's see. I'm not really sure.
Well, what got you really interested in criminology? That seems like that's something that's a very interesting field to go into, and perhaps a little bit on the dangerous side too, depending on what you get into there. But what drew you to that?
For me, it's kind of like a long path. I want to be a little bit in investigation, and after a good career there, maybe get in politics, involved in Spain. So that's kind of what I'm looking at.
I was just always into this, like I'm always watching these TV shows that are like police and stuff, and I was like, yeah, this is cool, let's try it. And then I've been like looking at it like more professional and stuff, and I always thought that it's really cool, you can help people and this stuff. And
and watching Chicago PD last night, John, I don't know if that's where we want these young ladies to go or not.
I know it. Mark, tell us a little bit about what these girls are meant to you. I was going through here, obviously upperclassmen now, seniors, and what they meant to the program.
You know, we've gotten really close. We've had a lot of ups. We've had some downs, too, but that last year at the end of the season where we really got hot, I mean, our men's teams have been outstanding. You know, they've won 8 championships and qualified for 8 NCAA tournaments. But on the women's side, it's gotten really, really tough. You know, our region is one of the best regions in the country now, with the Oklahoma schools and so forth. So maybe tougher than on the guy's side, actually, now. But both of them are very extremely tough. So in order to see them do that, you know, we had played Washburn early in Maryville on a cold day in March, and it was a very close match. We lost 4-3, I believe it was, and a match we could have won. And they kind of rubbed it in our face a little bit after the match, a couple of their athletes. It was not a smart thing to do. But the girls remembered it, you know, and then back all the way till May, that's when we played them over there, and they got a wonderful tennis complex, tremendous scoreboard over there and everything. It's a good tennis school, Washburn. They're a great rival for us, but you know, we didn't just beat them. We beat them bad. And she said we were winning maybe all but one match. It looked like it was going to be about a 6-1 is what it looked like. And to me, for them to come that far through hard work, you know, I mean, that's how you get better. You know yourself being a tennis player, repetition, practicing, playing. And, you know, competition-wise, we back away from nobody. We play them all just like we will this year on spring break, playing tough matches every day. That's just the way we do it.
And as Dizzy Dean would say, it ain't bragging, just facts, right?
Yeah, you got that right.
All right. Tanya Marta, one thing that always has struck me with the tennis program, it's how close both you are on the women's side, but also on the men's side, and how, again, you guys are each other's biggest boosters when you go on the road. And any particular stories that you have to tell about traveling on the road and traveling with head coach Mark Rosewell here that folks might want to know about, but a little bit behind the scenes too?
I mean, for us, being on the tennis team is not just being athletes and travel together. For us, it's basically be a family. None of us has family here except for two kids, which they always bring their parents with us, and they made us like feel that we still have support when they are with us. I mean, some stories, we have a lot of stories, but one that I always remember was with Irene trying to do magic trick with us. That, we're gonna miss her a lot, but all the girls, we're just all together. This year happened to be a very sad year for me, and they always been there for me. They never give up on me, and I really appreciate how they are.
All right, we've got one question from the crowd here that's going to both you and Mark and me here both, from Jim Hazen. He wants to know when we're going to have another grudge tennis match out there. I'm just waiting for you to get healthy here. All of a sudden, you're saying you got a bad knee and a lot of things. Just like, I think you're kind of avoiding it.
Well, yeah, well, that could be too, John. Kelly's rehabbing me. She's getting me ready. I'm riding that bike every day and so forth in the fitness center. So it's getting close. Well, we're hoping by this fall, maybe a couple weeks yet, but it was getting very, very close.
All right, one other note too. I think folks might be interested to know that with the new tennis facility there and the extra courts, that we're having some more improvements over there here down the line.
Yeah, John, talked with Andy today actually, and you know, we still got the lights coming, and actually they're going to be coming in and talk about specifications and all that. It's the holdup's not on Northwest then. It's they're quite a busy company and so forth, but it's coming, and I think it has to be done by this fiscal year, as I understand it, or whatever. But we get those lights out there, it's going to make it a really attractive place for people like James Hazen, who plays tennis, okay, to come in the summertime when it's so hot. Nobody wants to go out there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but people will come out at 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock at night, get those lights on, play tennis. So it'll be great for the whole community and the high school and everybody else, the students and stuff too.
All right, well, guys, thanks a lot for being with us here on the Coach's Show. Again, that's Tanya Terrell along with Marta Ferrando, and also head coach Mark Rosewell joining us here on the Coach's Show. And girls, good luck for the spring season. That's going to be here before you know it, I think.
Thank you,
John, and happy homecoming.
You betcha. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. We'll be back and turn our attention to football right after this timeout from Carson's.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Support for today's game comes from Heinlein Home Furnishings on South Main in Maryville. Locally owned and operated, Heinlein has been in business for more than 50 years, offering mattresses and furniture from Ashley, Lazy Boy, England, Serta, and more. More information at HeinleinHomeFurnishings.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating more than 50 years in business, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. More at 660-582-3104.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from United Electric Cooperative, who is committed to serving Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa residents with reliable and affordable power. For all electrical services, UECI.coop.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering locksmithing, lock installation, repairs, rekeying, and high security master key system setup and maintenance. or at 660-582-3131 or at MarysvilleGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back into the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. We're now talking Northwest Missouri State football, and we have a few coaches on with us, as well as a few former Bearcat players themselves. Head coach Rich Wright is with us. We also have co-offensive coordinator and former quarterback Joel Osborne. We have co-defensive coordinator and former linebacker Chad Boswick, as well as special teams coordinator and former defensive back Brandon Clayton. Guys, appreciate coming in. And I understand we're in a bit of a time crunch. We can't take you for the full, you know, next 35 minutes or hour, because Joel's going off to the variety show. So
wow, variety show. Nice.
But are you performing is what I want to know.
No, there will be no performance by me.
But let's say hypothetically you were to. What would Joel Osborne do at the homecoming variety show?
Oh, I am not a performer.
No song or dance or anything?
No, got no
Definitely
moves.
Not dancing.
No, no.
Have you seen it, though?
Yes.
No singing either.
What about you guys?
Oh,
Chad, Brandon, you guys do anything crazy?
I could do some karaoke if we needed to.
Yeah, what's your go-to? Don't Stop Believing?
Oh, it's... Some Guns N' Roses would be good.
Yeah. Sweet Child of Mine, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Is that right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Chad, we call Ray, man. He knows every song.
Oh, well,
that's not a joke. I mean, he knows, like, if a song comes on, he knows it. We don't even question him. We'll be in meetings, and you'll say that, you know, this play happened in the third quarter. He's like, no, second quarter, 43rd play. It was on the left hash.
So it's not just song, it's just photographic memory of everything.
I mean, kind
of,
sort of.
Huh.
Good memory, yep.
Where's that come from? Anything particular?
I don't know. No, it's just always been that way.
Huh, well, but it has to work out well, though, when you're kind of going back, like, hey, this play worked here, let's run that again, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Well, it is homecoming week at Northwest Missouri State. It's always a special time on campus. The Bearcat football team always comes to play. For you guys that played here and won a lot of football games, what's it like to run out of the tunnel? What will the guys be feeling when they come out on Saturday?
Go ahead.
Oh, I think they'll have a sense of, you know, kind of, they'll get to see a lot of the alumni, a lot of the former players that come back and kind of feel that family atmosphere and kind of the tradition that has been built before them. I think that's a huge part of it. That's what I like seeing, me personally as a player, but now as a coach, is all the former players, all the kind of little things that they did, all the traditions and kind of the culture that's been set since then.
Is walkout day a distraction at all? No classes tomorrow? Do you guys adjust the practice schedule at all?
Yeah, we adjust practice. I mean, we have meetings in the mornings with our guys, and then other than that, it's business as usual as far as the schedule goes. So it's not a distraction at all.
Homecoming also comes with the annual Don Black Award. We have a couple former Don Black Award winners with us here, Joel Osborne and Chad Boswick, 03 for Chad and 08 for Joel. What's that like? How special is that after the game to be able to be at the 50-yard line with former Don Black Award winners and get that?
It's a great feeling, but like Adam Dorr would tell you, I was a product of the system. Had a lot of good guys blocking for me and a lot of good guys to throw to and hand the ball to.
Chad, is that where you're a product of the system too?
The day I won it was a kind of a flash in the pan. It was my junior year, and I had a interception return for a touchdown on a fake punt, and had a few tackles that game. And
that's how most guys
get. Was lucky enough to get it. So
interceptions returned for touchdowns.
Yeah, exactly. So
now, Brandon, I feel bad. Like, I assume you were just locking down one side of the field, and so you couldn't get the stats, and that's why you never won one, right?
We'll go with that story.
Yeah,
I like to believe that was true. There's been some great games though in homecoming. I remember one year playing Washburn. It was unbelievable. LaRon Council dove over at the pile at the end of the game. So there's a lot of great memories I have, even though I never won a Don Black Award.
Now, I was looking through at some of the recent homecoming games, a 28-27 win. I think that was over Washburn in 07, and Joel, you played pretty good in that football game. Do you guys remember that one at all? Do some of these stick with you through the years, or it just kind of plays here and there?
Yeah, I remember it. Josh Matthews separated his shoulder, and I got to play the rest of the game, and their field goal kicker. Actually, I threw a toss pitch to Xavier, and he dropped it. And they recovered it and scored the next drive and to go up six. And their field goal kicker missed their PAT. And I got yelled at by Xavier on the sideline for not pitching it well enough. And then
was that true, though?
No, it was a great pitch because the next day he apologized. And I think Coach Wright drew up a good kickoff return, and we got it into good territory and went down. And we had a fourth down and came out of the huddle, and Kendall Wright lined up wrong, and I had to tell him to go line up to the other side, and I had to remind him what route he had. And it was good enough. He caught it. So, and then we kicked the extra point and won.
How often does that happen for a quarterback that you obviously know what everybody's doing, and then a wide receiver running back's kind of like, I might have forgot what I'm doing here.
You have no idea. The receivers and the backs, they're something else.
Now, I assume if a play or a scheme is signaled in from the defensive sideline, nobody's missing assignments, right?
No. There was a lot back in my day. I don't know, Brandon probably tested this. There was a lot of looking around and getting guys lined up right. And I play with Adam Long next to me, and he spent a lot of time talking to the opponent. And so I was responsible for getting the signal for him and telling him what the call was half the time. So
you played the mental game of knowing the scheme.
No, I knew what he was doing. And getting in their head, right? Hey, what's the call? What's the call? So
he's just getting the opponent's head.
Yeah,
it's important.
Yep, exactly.
Northwest Missouri State has played in some big games. One of those, going back, and Coach, you'll have to remind me of the year, Abilene Christian.
Mm-hmm.
They scored 90-plus the week before.
Right, against West Texas. Ryan Leaf was talking about it on ESPNU last week.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obvious, just doesn't happen very often. Mm-hmm. Johnny Knox went on to play for the Chicago Bears. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, Brandon Clayton shut down a corner. Took him out of the game completely.
Yeah, we'll go with that story again. that dude, he was really good. If you remember, we played on week one that year. That was my senior year. Really good football team. Probably one of the best football teams I played against. Bernard, Johnny, Gates.
They had some dudes.
They had some dudes. The quarterback was good. He was a Division I guy.
Shoot, they had five NFL guys on offense.
Yeah, the two tackles were really good, too. So they were a challenge, and they kicked their butt right out there at Bearcat Stadium week one. Then we kind of battled back throughout the whole season, and then we ended up playing them in the playoffs. Right after that game, they scored 93 points, and I remember it because they were lateraling the ball on an onside kick trying to get to 100.
Wow.
On the last play. So
that's what goes around comes around, I think, at that point, right?
Absolutely.
Well, how many yards did Johnny Knox have that day?
I could not tell you. He had a touchdown. On the first drive. He threw a back a pass back across. It should have been picked up, and he just jumped over me and caught the ball.
But after Brandon, I was trying to talk you up in this.
I know. But after that, I held my own, though. I felt
he
great.
He failed you.
After that, a couple of PBUs. We held them to like less than 30 points and felt really good about it because we ended up winning the football game.
What's the message to a team and a defense going into a week like that when you see a team that puts up those kind of points and you're in the playoffs seeing them for the second time?
It's just the mentality is really no different than what it ever is, and that's what I like about being here. And I learned it from Scott, and it's just, you know, we have a standard here that we want to execute at, and if we do our jobs and everybody trusts one another that you know, we're going to have a good outcome. And, you know, our kids were motivated. It was fun. Loved being in those games and those atmospheres and just watching how the kids perform.
Coach Wright, were you back whenever Chad came through as a player?
I was.
So you might be able to answer this, and I don't know, Chad, I'll throw it to you. I learned today, just looking at a few things online, you're a walk-on at Northwest?
I was a walk-on, yes. My
How could you not get a scholarship from your own brother?
Well, that's interesting.
That
honestly, just looking, I mean, as a coach now, just looking back at, I wouldn't offer me a scholarship either at high school. I was 5'10", 185 pounds coming out of high school. I mean, that's just not an MIAA type linebacker. So,
but you worked for it and got it later,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah. I use it as motivation, and it. And he was always pushing me to be the best I could be, and that's, I'll forever be thankful for that. So,
and Coach Wright told me that there was a game against Pittsburgh State that you broke your elbow and came back out and finished that football game.
It happened the week before down in Bolivar at Baptist, making a tackle when Kelly Williams came from behind, safety. I had my arm, or the guy, grabbed, and he came hit me from his dislocation, and was told that I was going to miss the rest of the year. And it was my senior year. We're playing Arrowhead next week, and big game against Pitt. They were the number one team in the country, and we were number two, and I wasn't going to miss that game. So, yeah, had the rest of your life to heal up on those type of things. So, and I wasn't going to miss it. So,
did you play again after that, or was that it?
It was the next game I played the rest of the year until we got beat by Pitt in the playoffs again down in the jungle. So,
How's that feel nowadays, a few years later?
It's, I was telling Rich the other day I had issues with it when the weather started turning cold, and, you know, curls aren't good for me when I'm trying to do those in the weight room. So it definitely gives me issues these days. So it's all worth it, though.
That's crazy.
Yep.
That's crazy. Joel, you had some pretty good games, and looking it up, you are second all-time in completion percentage at Northwest Missouri State. Did you know that?
No.
You rank pretty high up there. But how much of that is because you got to hand the ball off to Xavier Omond so much, right?
A lot.
Xavier and LaRon.
yeah, exactly.
Had a lot to do with it. Guys were packing the box. Big throwing windows. A lot of short passes. Should be high percentage when you're throwing it underneath.
You couldn't talk them into a few more shovel passes instead of the pitches back?
Well, we did a few of those jet passes, but no, it wasn't a shovel where I was going to run the ball. It was just going to be a pitch.
The 98-yard touchdown run, you handed him that against Grand Valley State, right?
Yeah, and then the next year I handed LaRon the 99-yard touchdown.
Are those the two longest runs in Northwest
history? Yeah. So Xavier legitimately outran Brandon Carr, and he looked at the scoreboard, and Brandon Carr was catching him, and he veered off to the right when he's looking at the scoreboard. And I remember in the huddle before, I was like, let's go, guys, let's go. And Xavier goes, just call the play. And the play we called was to Xavier up the middle, and it worked. And then the next year at Central, we were backed up on our own one and handed the ball to LaRon, and he broke a tackle at the line of scrimmage and got through to level three. And it's the slowest 99-yard touchdown in the history of college football. He had to stiff-arm a guy at the 50-yard line that hawked him, and then he got hawked again at the five and drugged two guys in the end zone.
In the box score, it all looks the same.
Yep. 99 yards.
Yep.
So that's that Grand Valley win. I was a freshman on campus that year and in the media department, and I saw Xavier the day before that game. Well, hey, man, how's it going? And met him and shook his hand, and I was like, oh, that's cool. And I talked to a buddy at the dorm. So I'm a little kid, and I knew who Xavier Omond was, and that was a big deal for me. So I told him, buddy, so saw Xavier, shook his hand. He's probably going to have a great game tomorrow. And I had a buddy named Casey Parkhurst who had class with you, like some jazz appreciation or something. He's like, I loaned Joel Osborne my pencil for this final, so that's probably going to be the key to the win. And then you guys came out and got it done.
Hey, weird story. You're talking about the ice game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nobody knows this. Our entire staff stayed in the complex because we didn't have heat. So we were sleeping in the conference room. We were sleeping. I mean, everybody was like all camped out at Northwest because Northwest was one of the few places that had power.
Man, talk about building camaraderie, right?
Oh, wow. That was crazy.
Thank goodness we had showers in the facility.
We left. I remember my wife and I were talking about this because we had no power at our house, and we didn't know if our pipes were going to freeze. We were out and headed to Florence, Alabama. It was a fun night.
That's crazy. I remember going to a buddy's house that did have power and watching that game.
That was part of Troy Tisdall's bachelor party. Was coming back and watching that semifinal game.
Really?
Yeah, it was. It was awesome. We had a big group of us that came back and watched. It was great. So,
is there one, and this is for all three, you can go around, but starting Brandon, is there one playoff game or a championship or anything, player or coach that sticks out, that just absolutely crazy, that sticks out in your mind?
Sadly, the 06 game. That was probably one of my favorites, just because that was my first year actually getting to play in one, because I missed the 05 season when we went because I tore my ACL. But that team, there's a lot of guys in that team that me being a walk-on that believed in me. So to me, that one kind of always sticks out, and it sucks that we didn't win. If you wanted to win one for those guys, that's a group of seniors. I still remember those guys, Thomas Smith, Ben Harness, Brandon Pratt. List goes on, but those are a lot of guys that, you know, helped me get going here, so I'm forever grateful for them. So that was one that really sticks out. I felt like I played pretty well. We watched it the other night. We're showing our team the 10 national title games that we played in, so they got to see me make a play at the end. But other than that, that one sticks out to me for sure.
That's dangerous, showing the guys the old championships, right? Because they're like, hey, remember that play that you messed that up?
Yeah, it is. I got some grief about it. Yeah,
that's funny. So,
I told the quarterbacks to bring the quarterback evaluation tool for Joel because we're watching the 07 game tomorrow.
And just grading off the charts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Chad, is there one that sticks out for you?
Oh, as a player, it was probably my senior year when we played Kingsville out here for our last home game. And They had a good running game, and you know, we defended it really well that day, and then unfortunately lost at Pitt the next week. But since been coaching, it's probably 2011 when we went down to Midwestern State, and man, that offense was unreal. I mean, they had some dudes on that team, and we were down big early, and we found a way to win that game down there, and I'll never forget that.
Joel?
Probably the one that stands out to me was Grand Valley in 07, the Ice Bowl. They were on a 49-game winning streak, and not just conference. I mean, they had won 49 games in a row, and they had a lot of NFL players on their team, and we weren't supposed to win, and we played really well, really well. We ran the ball, we threw it, and the conditions were awful, and that was fun.
I think there were more people there to tear down the goalpost than were in the stadium when the game was actually going on.
Probably. Yeah. Our crowd was great, actually. And I remember the end of the game when we're all on the sideline and Chuck Martin ran across to tell the player was hurt, and Mel was out there, and he ran over to Mel, and he said – he told him something, and then Coach Wright, being a coach, told us this, that Bostic goes, "What did he say, Mel?" And he said, I'm gonna give up. The game's over. We're not gonna try to score anymore." He goes, "I want to believe in Mel."
It was a little more colorful than that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, just a few more minutes. We'll let you guys go and cut you guys loose. But run through a couple of quick ones. What's the best road coach's box so far in the MIAA? Obviously, Northwest is number one.
Arrowhead,
probably. Yeah.
Arrowhead's phenomenal.
It's hard to see from there, as you know. I mean, just there, like, I had a headache after the game just from using binoculars, just trying to get personnel. Just, I mean, it's a long view up, but the box is big and spacious.
Yeah, the angles are great being up that high, kind of
yes,
on the top.
Yeah, you can see everything.
You're way
hard
up
to
there.
See numbers though from way up there, as you know. But
which coach could still play? Not GAs. What coach could strap it on right now?
Definitely not me.
I think Coach Clayton would be good because he'd just grab and hold those receivers. They wouldn't have a chance.
I'd probably have one cover two snap in me. One.
It's about grabbing.
I'd be
and
good for about a
right
three
way.
Play series, and I'd be done. So that'd be it for me.
Now that Coach Dorrell's not here, who's the best noon ball player out of the football coaches? Because I assume Coach Dorrell was the best, right?
It's got to be Ozzy. I mean, he played basketball here for a little bit, so it's
yeah.
I mean, he had a record for three-pointers in the game. So.
Well, shoot, he lit Missouri up in the first half, you know, his freshman year.
Yeah, I think I could take that.
I will
never play noon ball. I've just seen too many injuries over the years. So.
Yeah, the one thing I'll give Coach Clayton credit for, though, is he knows his role. Plays defense, screens, gets people open.
I'm a terrible basketball player, so you will get an elbow in the kidney.
It's for a workout.
You can get open threes, though, coming off his screens.
It's the unselfishness. Hey.
Being a good role player, you got to know your role.
Absolutely. Know your 111th, right?
True.
Yep.
Factual.
Now, between the past two head coaches, AD and Coach Wright, who has a better fashion sense? Because I've seen Coach Dorrell's workout attire, and it was impressive.
It's Coach Wright.
Yeah, Coach Wright.
Coach Wright.
I don't think a lot of people understood what Coach Dorrell used to wear to the office, so.
We'll save
that. You've seen his workout attire, haven't you? Like when he's running around town back in the day?
It was something else.
Yep. So.
Who's a non-football coach in athletics that could play football at any time, not just now, but when they
non-football coach?
Non-football coach.
It's either Ben McCollum or Andy Peterson.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Agree. Yep.
In fact, we played flag football in 2011, and Phil V. Hill's a captain, and I was a captain, and Phil was college quarterback at GA Force, and I just got hired full-time, and Mac wanted to play. He was so amped up. And I got first pick. And I took Mac, and then Phil took a football coach, and then I took Andy Peterson, and Phil took a football coach, and
dominated.
I put Mac on the right and Andy on the left, and they went verts, and we just spread them out, and we torched them.
I could see Mac going all out.
He's not very competitive, is he?
No, not at all.
Right.
Who's the best athlete in the Osborne household?
Oh, that's
Audrey.
Not even close. Not even close.
Audrey?
Yeah.
Okay. Audrey.
Yes.
Yeah.
By far.
Not and the toughest.
Yeah. Three babies ripped out of you. You would be tough.
Oh, yeah. On that note, guys, appreciate you coming in.
Wow.
Went there.
We'll turn you loose. Appreciate you coming in. Joel, good luck at the variety show, and good luck this weekend as well.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
That is few coaches from Northwest Missouri State football team joining us here on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Joel Osborne, Chad Bostwick, Brandon Clayton, and head coach Rich Wright. We'll take a timeout and be back to chat a little bit more with Coach Wright here on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Bearcat Lumber on East 1st Street in Maryville, providing windows, roofing, siding, and doors for new home construction, as well as materials and plans for outbuildings, shops, and garages. More on Bearcat Lumber services at 660-562-0300.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park offers residents and visitors camping facilities for tents and RVs, as well as lakeside cabin rentals. More information on camping and lodging is at MazingoLake.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911 or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for more than 150 years. More information on locations is online at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries within the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Printery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show as we continue on with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Rich Wright. And Rich, always a big weekend when it's homecoming. And I think we talked to you about this in the past, but Northwest does it about as well as anywhere, don't they, as far as activities surrounding homecoming and Bearcat football?
No doubt. There's a buzz on campus, and, you know, we have such a great alumni base, and people come back. We're excited to have the summit this weekend, which we started a couple years ago for football alumni, and have them back at the Hughes Indoor Facility. We're just excited.
And a couple very special years are being honored with the 99 team coming back. Of course, the 2009 team under Coach Tushma, and then you look at 1979, the MIAA championship team under Coach Red all coming back. So some very special groups will be back on campus with this.
No doubt. The 79 team I'm excited about just because there's a really large contingency of those guys coming back. And, you know, it's really good to see, you know, some of the earlier generations still, you know, being engaged with our football program.
What do you tell the team on homecoming week to especially for maybe some of the players that are maybe new to the program on what to expect during homecoming?
You know, it's funny. This Coach Churchma, then Coach Doral, myself, we talk about you have one job on homecoming, win a football game. So that's what we talk about. It's to not get caught up in all the other superficial things. We have a job to do. It's a great event for everybody else, but for us, you know, we're locked into winning a football game.
And I guess that goes along with the question here about game prep. And does game prep change during homecoming week? I think pretty much you answer that. It's another game coming up.
Yeah, no, not at all. You know, the only difference for us is because it's a walkout day and there's no classes, we're going to have them back at the complex in the morning. And we're going to have position meetings in the morning, then watch – you know, we've watched the national championship game every week. We're going to have a matinee instead of doing it at night. And then we're on our 1:50 schedule, which is when we actually start, you know, our meetings. And it'll be Groundhog Day.
And another question from group here, Mark Thompson asks, who's having that week in practice that you expect to have an impact in a win on Saturday?
You know, there are several. You know, I think Amani Donadell's had a good week of practice. Caden Davis had a really good week of practice. Justin Rankins looked very good defensively. Feel like the front is really starting to trend well and play well. So those are the people I'd be looking to.
And as far as looking ahead toward Lincoln, you look at a team that has struggled win-loss-wise this year, a team that again, it looks like they have a pretty good running back, but what are some of the things you're looking at right now with Lincoln coming to town?
Well, you know,
pretty good. I think it's an understatement. He's the third leading rusher in the nation right now, and so he's doing a nice job. You know, for us, really, after, you know, coming off the setback, it's a lot more about us, though. It's about executing at our level and playing at the level that we can play at and doing so consistently. And so that's what I'm looking for Saturday.
And how does the team bounce back this week in practice?
You know, it's hard. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's, you know, everybody had a bad taste in their mouth. We didn't feel like we played well. You know, early in the football game, there were, you know, way too many mistakes, and we couldn't overcome it. And so I think just everybody in our organization is excited to go out there and get the bad taste out and play and perform well.
Yeah, I would imagine Saturday can't come quick enough to get back out on the field.
Oh, heck no. I would have liked to have teed that thing up 24 hours after we played at Kearney. It's just, it's hard, and it's frustrating, but it's part of the process. And, you know, the thing you try and do as a coach is, okay, now what can we learn from it? You know, because, you know, you learn certain things in victories, but you can learn an awful lot in defeat. And, you know, one of the biggest things is the details. And, you know, it wasn't a physical execution thing all the time. It was more paying attention to the details on both sides of the ball that led us down to the outcome that we got last week. So, you know, we have to be better.
And I think, too, you look at Nebraska Kearney, they came out and they're a much improved team than what they've had in the past as well.
They are. I'll be interested to see what the Hayes game looks like, you know, but, you know, the reality is, you know, I was asked a lot during the week, you know, were you surprised? Were you this? Were you that? I wasn't surprised. I knew Kearney had a good football team. So did our kids. It was really, again, goes back to when you turn the ball over three times in your first four possessions. You know, we have a board sits right outside our locker room that shows, you know, turnover margin in the MIAA over the last 20 years. And when Northwest is -3 in turnover margin, usually doesn't bode well for the Bearcats. And we managed to do that all in the first quarter. And so we just dug ourselves too big of a hole. And, you know, I was proud of the kids' resiliency trying to come back. But, you know, it was too little too late. And that's on us.
When you look at this Lincoln matchup, what are some of the main things you want to see out of your team matching up with the Blue Tigers?
I just want to see great execution on both sides of the ball. I want to see, you know, crisp special teams play. I want to see us take care of the ball. You know, I want to see us tackle well. You know, it's just, it all goes back to fundamentals. I mean, there doesn't have to be anything flashy. It just, our fundamentals have to be better.
And how good is it to get back to Bearcat Stadium? It seems like it's been a while since we've been there.
You know, we were talking about that this week in the offices in one of the staff meetings, and it's been almost a month since we've been at home, so it'll be great to get back into Bearcat Stadium.
And, of course, homecoming coming up. When you look at the rest of the season after this matchup, you got Northeastern the next week, and then a couple big games to round out the regular season. This is a good time to maybe take care of some of those details here as you get the luck of these next 2 weeks and then get geared up for the big final stretch here.
We have to play well the last 4 weeks, regardless of our opponent and regardless of what we've got. You know, our schedule is what our schedule is. So we have to play to our standard and not worry about who we're playing.
And again, coming up on Saturday. Coach, certainly appreciate you being with us here on the Coaches Show.
Thanks a lot.
And that's head coach of the Bearcat football team, Rich Wright. We'll be back and have more for you from Carson Sports Girl right after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Carpet Plus Bargain Barn on North Highway 71 in Maryville, providing carpet for Mohawk and Shaw, as well as hardwood flooring, tile, laminate, and vinyl. Carpet Plus provides estimates and arranges installation. More at carpetplus.com.
Today's game is being underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at the 5 Mile Corner south of Maryville. Support for today's game comes from Compass Dental Group. Doctors Bruce Twaddle and Brian Viertaler are proud supporters of Bearcat Athletics and the quality culture that is Northwest Missouri State University. More information on the Compass Dental Group is online at CompassDentalGroup.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from SureGrow Plant Food Company in Forest City. Locally owned and operated, SureGrow's provided the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies since 1951. More information on SureGrow products and services at 660-446-3376.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, broadcasting live from Carson's Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Rejoined by Matt Tritton. And Matt, on the road this weekend for you. You're missing out on all the homecoming activities out to Durham to go with the Bearcat men's basketball team as they face Duke, and that ought to be a lot of fun out there for you.
Yeah, it'll be a good time and a good test early on, of course, taking on a fourth-ranked team in Division I there for the men's basketball team. So a good chance to get out there and kind of, I guess, a little bit of celebrate carryover from last year, but also get ready for the upcoming season, which I believe starts, November 1st, November 2nd, for the actual regular season. So not a bad tune-up game to start things off.
Yeah, and then when you look at the schedule coming up, it really gets busy for a lot of different sports getting going at the same time. You got all the fall sports in action here in the next few weeks. And then you've got men's and women's basketball getting really rolling next week. So we're going to be off busy as well when you look at the schedule coming up.
Yeah, so much going on. But all at the same time, the more they overlap, that means the more success for those Northwest Missouri State fall sports. So it should be a lot of fun these next few months.
And again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. We'll be back and wrap things up right after this time out from Carson's.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from United Services, offering residents throughout Northwest Missouri amenities including high-speed internet, television, and phone services. For more information on products and availability, unitedfiber.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and First Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Gardner Family Dentistry on South Main in Maryville. Dr. Jeffrey Gardner and his staff specialize in treating the whole family and offer a variety of services including general dentistry, crowns, implants, and more. Gardner Family Dentistry welcomes new patients. More information at MarryvilleSmiles.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers pre-owned late model autos and will also purchase vehicles from individuals. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitsenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitsenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or pitsautobody.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. So we wrap things up. Northwest Missouri State this weekend. It's homecoming for the Bearcat football team. 2 o'clock is kickoff time. We'll have the broadcast beginning at 1 o'clock with Bearcat game day. And then right after that, it's out to Durham, North Carolina, 5:30 pregame time and a 6 o'clock tip-off as the Northwest men's basketball team will face Duke. Again, both of those games can be heard on KXCV KRNW. Again, Bearcat football Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock kickoff and 1 o'clock pregame, and then 5:30 pregame and 6 o'clock tip-off for Northwest and Duke basketball. That'll do it for the Coaches Show this week. We'll be back with you again next week for more from the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV Maryville and KRNW Chillicothe. For everyone involved with the program, I'm John Coffey, and so long from Carson's.
Hi, I'm Lynn Warfel. If you love the movies like I do, and if you love movies